The Dice Man cometh.
Edge Radio 99.3, Trenton Mark with the Dice Men cometh back for a second show on a Wednesday evening here. Your grammatically incorrect, archaic, third-person singular present tense tabletop gaming show. In a week when Sony and Microsoft have released the most advanced home entertainment systems ever created, we're talking about cardboard and plastic.
We have got a packed out show for you today. We've got our top five Christmas gifts. We've got the long-awaited Tommy Dean interview. Yes, it will work this week, we promise. We are going to give a full review of a brand new, absolute backstabbingest game we've ever come across. And we're going to hear how Trent's going with his James Bond board game design.
But right now, this is Tumbleweed with Sweet Little Runaway on Edge Radio. The Weed, Sweet Little Runaway on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Trent and Mark, the Dice Men cometh talking tabletop gaming, but if I can just have a flashback to the 90s for a moment at City Hall when Tumbleweed supported Cruel Sea a few years back. Great show.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about what we've been playing.
Yeah, well, actually, the last time you and I caught up, we were playing Nothing Personal.
Let's keep that one up our sleeve for later on.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that game in depth. It's a mafia-themed backstabbing negotiation type affair.
It's absolutely the most backstabbingest game I have ever played, and as you well know, because you suffered most of that backstabbing.
Oh, tell me about it. Well, now listen, if you've got no idea what we're talking about here, this is board games, yes, board games and card games, and these are all sorts of crazy configurations, crazy types of games that are available these days. They've basically taken over our lives.
It's amazing. The plethora of games, the plethora of themes is just quite amazing. Let me talk about one little one I've played recently. It's a quite an amazing little game. It comes out of Japan, actually. A designer in Japan, Seiji Kanai. And I say, yes, you can. The game is called Love Letter. And the beauty of it is, it has 16 cards. It has 13 small red cubes and the box that it comes in. That is it.
And how much does this go for?
Ooh.
It's like $30 or something?
No, $25, something like that, yeah. But the beauty of the game is in the simplicity, but it also has quite a depth of strategy in it. So basically you're playing 2 to 4 players, you're playing cards, and the cards are numbered from 1 to 8, where 1 is a guard, piss-weak sort of guy who can't do much, and the 8th is the princess. And the whole concept behind Love Letter is you're trying to get a token of affection to the princess to let her know that someone, we don't know who, but someone is interested in her, they're keen on her. And it's really a game of sort of like a trick-taking, trick-winning game.
It's all about who's got the highest value card.
Yeah,
and trying to figure out what people have got, is that?
Yeah, yeah? That's right. And so with 2 to 4 players, you're trying to knock the other players out of the round before you run out of cards. Now, mind you, there's only 16 cards, so the rounds themselves hardly last any time at all. A full game of this takes about half an hour maximum, so it's a great beginning of the night filler, or midway through the night where you're waiting for another game to finish so you can mix the groups together, or even at the end of the night when you've had enough of the serious, heavy games. It's a great one, and I haven't met anyone who hasn't enjoyed this game. Love Letter, I say pick it up.
Well, I haven't enjoyed it that much, mainly because I'm yet to actually win a game, this, despite it being really simple.
But that seems to be the theme of your game playing lately.
Not just lately. The theme of my life.
So tell us, what have you been playing?
I picked up a game called Gauntlet of Fools.
Oh, it's about your close friends and family, is it?
Pretty much, yeah. Look, it's a game. It's got a bit of a cheesy sort of fantasy hero setting, you know, muscly barbarians and chicks in charmail bikinis,
yep,
that kind of thing. And
they're fighting
against each other to brag their way through a dungeon, fighting the creatures off with one hand tied behind their back or while blindfolded, or both. And again, look, this is a really, really good opener to an evening of gaming. You've got 2 to 6 players, about 30 minutes, or sometimes just 5 minutes, as we found out.
We played one really quick round, and I tell you what, Was it because we're all hungover? Not personally, but our characters?
It's got about three rules to take account of, so it goes by very quickly. There's a boasting phase where players try to grab the best heroes off of each other by crippling them with these outrageous boasts that you're going to fight while you're hungover or without breakfast or while juggling. And then you run the gauntlet by flipping your way through a deck of encounter cards of fairly generic fantasy monsters, and you just know you're going to get your ass kicked because you're fighting with a blindfold on, right? But it's all about who dies with the most gold at the end. So it's really just like life.
Exactly.
It's fast. It's simple. Gamers, it's designed by Donald X. Vaccarino, who made...
Dominion.
Right.
Famously.
One of the biggest card games in the hobby over the past couple of years.
And a winner of the Spiel des Jahres, the German Game of the Year, about 3 years back, I think.
And that card game, Dominion's, had about 70-odd expansions, none of which you actually need. This game looks like it could be expanded. There's certainly potential there, but I kind of almost hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, you could always add more variety of characters and more variety of monsters as you can in any of these fantasy games. But you're right, you really don't need it. Its simplicity is in... its beauty is in its simplicity, I should say. It's another one of those games where it's great at the start of the night where you're waiting for people to arrive, or at the end of the night where you've had too many beers and you just can't handle the, the solid strategy. I really enjoyed it. Played really well.
Okay, and if you're keen on those two and maybe interested in finding out a couple of more titles, well, 'tis the season to dig into your pocket. And we have a list of Christmas gifts that we're going to run through for gamers or for someone who you suspect might be interested in the hobby. And we'll do that next. And a little bit later in the show, we'll also be finally bringing you our interview with Tommy Dean.
Can't wait.
He's very, very passionate about gaming. He's a comedian and kind of like an evangelist for gamers. And we'll talk to him very soon here on Edge Radio 99.3. Now playing Messer Eds from Tassie, Televangelists. That's Waxahachie, Dixie Cups and Jars on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. This is Trent and that is Mark, and we are the Dice Men Cometh. Who are we?
Someone else cometh quite soon.
Well, who's that?
Santa.
Oh, yes.
So, I love to put games under people's Christmas trees, as you know. I'm Mark and he's Trent. I think that's the question you're asking, who we are. We're friends of Santa's, of course, and we want to put some games under your Christmas tree this year.
That's what we tell our kids anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We thought we'd run down five games each that we would recommend, some for brand new gamers, would-be gamers, people you suspect could possibly be gamers if you twist their arm hard enough.
Have you got anything in there for families?
Families, games. All games are for families.
So we haven't really checked with what is on each other's list.
No. So we could clash up here, but we'll see how we go.
Get a pen, okay, for your Christmas gift idea.
Yeah, look, absolutely. So my first one, it's a classic. It's just about the seminal gateway game to hook new people who have never played any other game besides Monopoly. And when you mention board games, you go, oh, no, not Monopoly. It's called Ticket to Ride. It's by a guy called Alan Moon. It's so simple. There's like three rules. You're basically connecting routes of trains across a map of America, and there are other iterations of it where it's in Europe and other countries. But it's so simple, yet it's quite addictive, and people pick it up really easy. It's got these beautiful little plastic trains.
I know. This is Ticket to Ride's hugely popular, but, Mark, it's a game about trains.
But it's not really. I mean, it's almost just a game of Rummy where you're picking up cards.
It's about trains.
Collecting sets, putting them down. And yes, you put your little beautiful plastic coloured trains across the map of America, fill in the gaps between cities. It's so simple. I have never met anyone, except maybe you, who doesn't enjoy this game the first time they play it. And it really is a game that will hook people in. You maybe shouldn't say any more, but I will. It's Ticket to Ride, and you will love it. What about you?
Okay, I've got a train free zone in my top five Christmas gifts. Dominion, we mentioned it earlier. It's a game that's kind of loosely themed around building a magical kingdom.
Loosely is putting it very loosely.
Yeah, it only uses decks of cards. It's actually a deck-building game. Now, what that actually means is that you get a hand of cards, and instead of trying to get rid of them all, you're actually trying to get more, but you've got to get the right ones, and they've got to be the ones that all work together.
Yeah.
Look, it's a great, simple game with incredible variety and replayability, especially if you spend a lot of money on the extra expansions, which you do not need, but they're fun anyway. That's Dominion.
When you're a completionist like I am, yes, like you are,
yes,
you know you need it. Look, my next one, not wanting to rag on Dominion or anything, but my next one, funnily enough, it's called Trains.
What?
And it's what happened when someone took the game of Dominion, barely a game, and turned it into fun and whacked a train theme on top of it. So it is another one of these deck-building games. Dominion was the first of the genre.
Doesn't this have a board as well, though?
Yeah, it does. So you've got, instead of it being very, very loosely medieval themed, this is based on the Japanese railway system.
Oh, that sounds
and
like
so
fun.
And so you're growing your train, but you also have a board, and there's an area control element. So you're taking over parts of Japan with your stations and your railways.
I will say this about the Japanese metro system. Very, very punctual.
Yes.
And clean.
Absolutely.
Much cleaner and more punctual than Hobart Metro.
Yes, and your average gamer. It's a deck-building game. It's lovely train theme. It's got this board with nice wooden pieces. It's really chunky. Again, it's really simple. And like Dominion, it's one of those games, you play it, it takes half an hour, 45 minutes, and people go, let's play it again.
Next game on the list, Race for the Galaxy. It's another card game. This one's about building an empire, but this time it's in space.
It's a brilliant game.
Race for the Galaxy, yeah. Look, one of the best games out there, without a doubt. It's one of your favourite, one of my favourites. You usually cane me.
Yeah, not just because I win all the time.
It's way too complicated to even begin to explain here. And you look at it the first time and you just panic a little bit, but it's all so gorgeous to look at. Trust me. Any gamer or any science fiction fan is going to just absolutely adore this, Race for the Galaxy.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'll throw in one more for the family. King of Tokyo.
Oh, yeah.
It's about giant monsters fighting over Tokyo. Some people call them kaiju, fighting over Tokyo to battle it out. You've got a giant gorilla. You've got your Godzilla clone. You've got a cyber bunny. You've got a giant panda. You've got a monster from outer space. You've got a kraken, all battling over Tokyo, beating each other up. And the beauty of it is it's a dice rolling game. It's got these great, big, fat, square, chunky dice that you roll. It always ends up with people standing up, rolling the dice and screaming out because you're trying to score points, but you're trying to kill the other monsters.
And it's a bit like Yahtzee, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got that sort of Yahtzee.
You re-roll the ones that you don't want.
It's a heap of fun. Again, it's really easy and simple. Looks beautiful. Big cardboard standees for the monsters. King of Tokyo.
Another good one for the family is Flashpoint Fire Rescue. This really is a game for the whole family because it's a cooperative game, which means, Mark, can you explain that?
It means you all play together and you're playing against the game.
Yeah, and obviously with the title, you can probably guess Flashpoint Fire Rescue. You're firemen in this, trying to rescue people.
And pussies.
And
dogs.
Thank you. From burning buildings. And if that doesn't sound like something that your family would want to spend some time doing, then frankly, I pity you.
Oh, and you get to ride a fire engine.
Flashpoint Fire Rescue.
Look, one other one that I can't go past. It's probably a bit more complicated for your gamer or even your mega nerd, Battlestar Galactica. It's also a cooperative game where you're playing against the game, but it has the traitor element where one or more players could be a Cylon.
Yeah, so this is based on the updated TV series of a couple of years back, and if you haven't heard of that, well, look, there's some fantastic eye candy. It looks one of the best TV series. Anyone who's enjoying Game of Thrones at the moment should immediately get onto Battlestar Galactica if you haven't seen it.
And this game takes all the best parts of the TV show, that tension about who's a Cylon.
The Cylons look human. You don't know who they are.
Fracking toasters. It's brilliant. It's heaps of fun. It's a bit longer. It's sort of 2 to 3 hours, but it's a great game. Battlestar Galactica.
Okay. Descent. Now, look, this is a game. If you're at all confused about the games we're talking about here and you're thinking, maybe that sounds a little bit like Dungeons & Dragons, well, Descent is Dungeons & Dragons on a board, essentially, with miniature goblins and spiders and these fantastic modular tiles that snap together to make dozens of different maps and adventures. One player is the evil overlord who sends all the monsters against the other players. You do not have to dress up when you play this game.
It is optional.
Yeah, but it's a bit, you know, it's a bit of fun if no one's going to stop you. Descent's probably not for casual gamers, but it's very, very rewarding if you want to put some time into it, and it is on the pricier side as well.
And I think also that one of the things that I have loved about this game, and I haven't played it enough, I want to play it more, is, you know, for those people who are really hankering for the days of role-playing, they just don't have the time, you know, throw this down, you play through one scenario, throw it down again a week later for another hour, hour and a half, you play another scenario, they can all link together, so you can play a whole campaign, but it's really in bite-sized chunks. Mm.
Okay, two more just quickly, then we've got to play another trophy.
So look, my last one, I'm going to mention nothing personal, and I'm going to tell you all about it later on in the show.
And for my last one, for the Christmas gift list on the Dice Man Cometh, Seven Wonders.
Oh, yeah.
One of the most beautiful looking card games out there. You're trying to build the ancient wonders of the world using science and armies and spies against each other. The art on these cards and these little boards is gorgeous. You get a hand of these fantastic cards, seven of them. You got to choose one you want and then pass the rest to your neighbor. And you got to keep doing that, trying to build something that works and gets you points. And I love this game, and I have no idea how to play it, and I always lose, but I always have a good time.
This game is so good that Fleetwood Mac wrote a song about it. What else do I have to say? But it's a cracker.
And we're going to play it right now. No, we're not. We're going to play We Are Lost Vesicle on Edge Radio, and coming up next, we chat to Tommy Dean. If you're lost and you've just stumbled in, this is Edge Radio 99.3 FM, The Dice Men Cometh, talking tabletop gaming with Mark and Trent this evening, and that is Vesicle with We Are Lost.
Yeah, I really like that track, actually. Mm. So now what you've all been waiting for, we've got comedian, committed board gamer Tommy Dean. Trent spoke to him early last week before our previous show, and let's have a listen to what he's got to say.
So Tommy Dean has been a gigging comedian in this country for decades now. He's one of our favourite American imports. You would have seen him on Spicks and Specks and Sunrise. You would have also seen his hair on there. Probably the longest hair in Australian comedy, Tommy, would you say that?
I used to love to try to lay claim to that title, but I think my recession and Ross Noble's ascension has created trouble for me.
He's known as Oz Jesting on Board Game Geek, and he has also featured on ABC Collectors with his board game collection. Please welcome former Blood Bowl champion Tommy Dean to Edge Radio's The Dice Man Cometh. Tommy, how are you?
I am very good, but it's nice that you started this conversation off with poking a hole in one of my deepest pains. My hair is no longer the longest, and I'm no longer the champion. Please welcome the former glory that is Tommy Dean.
Well, I mean, do you have a lot of time to play Blood Bowl these days? You're a father of three. You're traveling around Australia working all the time. How do you find the time to play any board games?
It's true. Blood Bowl is very much a lifestyle sport, and it is my one favoriteest game in the world, and it is actually the game that leads to all games.
This is miniature football with bazookas and chainsaws, yeah? Is that right?
It is indeed. It's a sport that Warhammer plays when Warhammer is taking a break from war.
Oh, God.
So it's the gridiron of Warhammer. So yeah, tabletop miniatures, but Blood Bowl is a proper board game in the sense that it's actually like chess plus football plus dice plus mayhem.
Now, we're going to be asking all of our guests this, but you're the first one, obviously, first cap off the rank for the show. What have you been playing lately?
I've been playing, and I'm very excited to say this, because I've long been wanting to attack the top 100, according to the rankings on Board Game Geek, and I'm very pleased that over the weekend I had my very first ever game of Puerto Rico, which I'm quite surprised. It took me so long to get to that perennial favorite.
I've only ever played it once or twice myself, and this is the thing with some of these classic Euros. Now, you're clearly, as a Blood Bowl fan, an Ameritrash geek, and the theme of something like Puerto Rico is probably a little less than appealing, yeah?
It is, but I'm pleased that I played it, and then I was, the back end stable, and I'll be quite happy to never play it again. And I don't mind the old Ameritrash Euro crossover. I'm quite fond of the Lords of Waterdeep, the Dungeons and Dragons inspired Agricola style worker placement fun.
Sure.
And I actually quite like Agricola. I thought I stayed away from that one for years, and then when I finally was taught how to play it, I suddenly went, wait a minute, I don't mind a bit of farming.
Now, look, you're clearly a man who knows what he's talking about. You've been playing games for years, I've read, and you're also involved with Board Games Australia. You're on their judging panel for their annual awards. For those people who maybe aren't so much into the hobby, can you explain the appeal of board games to people?
Me personally, it actually, when I was in high school, I had my best friend in high school's parents every Saturday would have games at their house, and my family was, we played the occasional game in the house between the brothers and I, but as a family, it was never regular. When I started going over every Saturday night to his house and playing with his family and some of their friends, and it was just something that stuck in the back of my brain that there was something beautifully organic about a group of people that know each other well, sitting around a table and sharing in whatever conflicts and puzzles and delights are taking place on a board, almost regardless of what the board is. And so that sort of went away with the wave of video gaming. I certainly fell into the console and PC gaming world for a while. And then Blood Bowl. So when I hit Blood Bowl, I find in 1996, I think, or something, when it first released its third edition in Australia.
Right.
And then one day made the fateful discovery of Board Game Geek. And then it all sort of blew up from there. But it really all came back to, and still does, in my mind, center on the delight that can be found sitting around a table with other humans, you know, exercising your brain and wit as you attack whatever the problem is on the table in front of you. And you can get more and more into it after that as far as the delight in the art and the tactile nature of games and the ways that the various stories get told in various games. You know, there's so many other little small divisions, but really, ultimately, it's about the table and the people around it. That is what I love so much about gaming.
That was Tommy Dean, and we've got more coming from Tommy in a minute, but you're on Edge Radio, 99.3 FM, and you're listening to The Dice Men Cometh. Now we've got a track just to tell you a little bit about how Trent feels when he doesn't do so well in games. It's Bad Self-Esteem. It's a mashup by DJ Zax of The Offspring versus Lady Gaga.
Oh, that is DJ Zax versus Lady Gaga. The Offspring is in there somewhere as well. Bad Self-Esteem on Edge Radio 99.3. The Dice Men Cometh, talking tabletop gaming with Trent and Mark and Tommy Dean, who I spoke to last week, fully into the hobby, and here he's explaining how he likes to make, he's so nerdy about his board games that he makes custom cases for many of his games.
Custom cases. In fact, I just met another guy who, that's what he does, so now I've always had this dream of having a custom case for every game that needs one. and I have some big scale plans. I'd love it if you could actually get a carpenter in. My dream, this is my dream house, and I will never achieve this as long as my wife lives with me. I always wanted like a museum house, you know, where like every wall was like a drop down shelf, and there'd be a brass plaque that would say the name of the game and the date that it was acquired, and it would sit there in pride of place.
And is this a passion that's shared in the family, Tommy, or is this just what Daddy does on his Saturday nights?
You know, some people are lucky enough to have partners that love to play with them. I have the second tier, which is will tolerate my playing. Actually, we do a bit of camping with some of the school friends, and the game that's taken over is the Resistance.
Deduction
bluffing game. And so none of those people that we camp with in any way play games, but the Resistance has sort of grabbed hold. So we've actually had a couple of specific dinner parties just so we could all play the Resistance again. Once people find something that they can get a handle on around the table, and then they may see this around the table. Now that group is in, I've slowly but surely brought on other things and say, what about this? And then now, you know, once the seed is sown, you break through that glassy-eyed stare of people thinking you're somehow reverting to some childhood that obviously wasn't as pleasing for them as yours was.
It's all about that initial introduction, isn't it? That
step out, you know. I just think it boggles me that people are so quick to, Like, I suppose a wine party is almost the same. People sitting around drinking wine and chatting. And I say, that's lovely, but we can do all of that and keep Azeroth from arising and destroying the universe. Wouldn't that be more fun?
Have board games ever made it on stage into your comedy, or is it a bit too niche, a bit too embarrassing somehow to talk about on stage?
No, I find the embarrassment part weird, too. I'm never embarrassed. I talk about it all the time. I love talking about it. In fact, quite often in interviews, I'll bend it back to comedy. I'll bend it back to games and get away from comedy because I don't want to be like an evangelist, but I really... It's one of my favorite things in the world, so I'm not embarrassed. I'm surprised when people are. I had a good friend who was one of the Blood Bowlers, and we had mutual friends, but we could never talk about why we knew each other because he was a big executive, and he didn't want any of his executive mates to know that he played with boy soldiers on the weekend. So we had to keep it quiet. It was a little mistressy thing. But I talk about it all the time. I rarely talk about it on stage because most people just don't have a frame of reference. So comedy dies without a frame of reference. If I know gamers are in the room, there's usually some joke that gets a little undertow, a little nod to say, I know you're there, and I know you know what I'm talking about, and nice. I know that no one else does.
Very nice. Do you think that embarrassment, that cringe factor, is a real barrier to the hobby?
I think the real barrier, and another thing that boggles me grandly about adults, is rules. Regardless of how easy a set of rules is, if there's more than two, it seems like adults just sort of blast out, and suddenly it's almost like they act like their mind can't contain any more information. Mm. I've already got enough things I'm dealing with in the world, and now I have to understand that I have to take two gold or two cards and keep one, which I don't understand. And the second one, here's the other one I think is most boggling, is that people, regardless of how much they love or don't love games, if they will eventually play with you, I am constantly amazed at how many people really want to win the first time. And winning is more important than actually learning how to play the game. They get frustrated because they don't know the rules. They get frustrated because you did something better than them because you know the game and they don't. And then they get cranky because they didn't win. But I think that's the big breakthrough moment is when you realize that maybe some games you've actually had more fun losing than you would have had you won.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes the third barrier in my mind is a certain introspective geekiness that overtakes, say, a gaming club, and it becomes quite hard to step in because we do indeed have a great deal of jargon and shared collective memory of games played. And if all true gamers that wanted other people to play with us were a little bit more open and a little bit more accommodating, it might break that barrier a bit easier.
And we usually know what it's like to be picked on, so we're kind of welcoming to newcomers.
Yeah, certainly. I'm quite willing to lose the first match if that's what you need to keep playing.
Tommy Dean, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you on the Dice Man Cometh. Thank you very, very much for joining us. And listen, are you going to be coming down to Tasmania anytime soon for any comedy gigs?
I always dream of it. There are more and more things slowly but surely growing in the comedy world in Tasmania, and I surely hope to be a part of them, if only to get down there and play some games.
Yeah,
people that know what they're talking about.
Give us a heads up when you're coming down, man. Good to talk to you.
I surely will. Thank you so much, and good luck with it.
That was myself talking to Tommy Dean on The Dice Men Cometh here on Edge Radio 99.3. We will be talking about our favourite new game of the moment, Nothing Personal, right after this. The twee plinky plonk sounds of, look, I don't even know, what was Ariel Pink's Haunted Graffiti, mature themes, and a local track, Warning, Will Robinson, Lost in Space, on Edge Radio 99.3. Trent and Mark, the Dice Men Cometh, we're about to wrap up, and the Edge of Reason is coming up next. Look, if all this talk about board games has got you interested, look, we're both with the Hobart Game Society. We're having a meeting at the Lena Valley Community Hall in Creek Road in Hobart this Friday night from 7 o'clock. And you can also check us out on Facebook. Just have a search for Hobart Game Society or The Dice Men Cometh. Take your pick.
Absolutely. And now what you've all been waiting for, Nothing Personal.
One of our favourite new games.
And we just played it the other night, and we won't talk about how I wiped the floor with everyone.
I am still feeling filthy and bruised.
So... Nothing Personal is a mafia-themed game. It's actually a reworking of a classic 80s Avalon Hill game called Kremlin.
Mm.
In that game, obviously, you were climbing your way up the ladder towards the top of the Kremlin. This is a mafia-themed game where it's a cards on a board game, and the cards are creeping up the ladder towards the top of the tree, the capo.
And the cards are all different gangsters.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And some of the gangsters are historical. Some of the gangsters are actually Italianized names of board games designers. It's quite funny. The game was designed by Tom Vassell and Steve Avery. Tom Vassell is well known to gamers. He's the voice of the Dice Tower, and he's been doing a podcast in games, probably the first one. He's been doing it for about 10 years. This is definitely what we would call an Ameritrash game. It has great rules, but the key to this game is the interactions between people. As we mentioned, it is the most backstabbiest game that we've come across. It's all about stabbing the other guy in the back. It's all about getting some advantage over them. It's about convincing them that, yeah, you're going to work together with them. Absolutely.
Yeah, and look, this it's a little bit of a problem, really, because we've played this three times now. I've won the first two.
Yeah, and we learned our lesson.
Exactly. Third time round, you guys clearly decided I wasn't going to win. And I don't think it would have mattered what I'd done. I was always going to lose because, like, for example, some of the cards that you're playing in this have got two effects. There's one effect that benefits you and one effect that you've got to give to another player.
Yeah, and look, the classic thing in this game is you use the effect, you then say, oh, who's going to give me some influence? And I'll give you this effect that I have to give you from a card, and someone else will say, oh, yeah, I'll do that, I'll do the right thing, but I'll look after you. And, of course, then they use that effect to stab you back. It is brilliant. Before we even finish, the components of this game, they're amazing.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Mega thick cardboard tokens, and it even has a metallic ring that the capo gets to wear. So you get to make people kiss your ring.
Exactly.
You cannot go wrong with this game. It is fabulous.
I don't think this is a game, though, where you can just sit quietly and keep to yourself and just hope that the other players leave you alone. The rule sets fairly straightforward, but it's really all about that negotiation, isn't it? And it kind of, I think it's going to, depending on the group of people you're playing with, it's going to live or die by that, because you really need players who are going to indulge in some trash talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than just sitting there trying to strategize it.
Yeah, look, this isn't a game for the quiet, thinky types. This is a game.
No, it's not.
Hence why we love it. This is a game for your trash talking, beer swilling, gutter scum, the friends that you hang out with and you give each other lots of stuff, of words that I can't say on the radio. It's great for that group of game. I mean, we have really loved it.
Yeah, and look, if you're interested in nothing personal, I think we'll probably bring it along to Hogs on Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. And the interesting thing is, this was a Kickstarter game. And speaking of Kickstarter,
yes, there's a local Kickstarter happening. Now, if you don't know what Kickstarter is, we're talking about crowdfunding your game ideas. And this is a whole show in itself about, there's a local mob called Adam Walker Studios who are kickstarting a kind of, well, look, it's Viking ship combat with origami boats. There's no other way of saying it. We're going to talk to Adam Walker next week on the show.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Which about wraps it up for us. So we've got the Edge of Reason coming up next. That's it. We're done.
Hang on a minute.
What?
You promised that you were going to design a board game with a James Bond theme.
Yes.
Don't pull the run out of time thing.
Well, we have run out of time.
So what are you going to do about it?
Well, I do have an idea.
Yeah.
What if I put a little bit of it on Facebook or something?
We'll
talk about it next week.
You could tease it on Facebook. We definitely want to hear about it next week.
It's actually a good idea.
Yeah, okay.
For a James Bond
sure
game.
It
okay,
is.
That's the challenge. Look, I've put at least, I reckon, 22 minutes of thought into this so far.